Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. The governor convened a work group last week to talk about this this legislation and trying to find a path towards a compromise that we could hopefully advance things in a positive direction. The folks on the in the room were Mark Rubin from VCU, who facilitated the conversation, myself and folks from the from my Secretary of Natural Resources and also Secretary of Commerce and Trade. We had conservation groups. We had obviously both of the major utilities. We had ratepayer advocates, including the Apartment Building Association, the Poverty Law Center, some major energy users. Newbury Shipyard, our shipbuilding was in there. We had the Manufacturers Association, and the Attorney General's office obviously was there as well.
Basically, what the bill does now, customer financial benefits. You're going to get the tax relief that'll be passed through to the customers via rate reductions, $125 million, which is an estimate annually from Dominion, $50 million annually from AEP, and customers are going to receive benefits faster now than under current law. Current provisions would not allow pass-through till 2020 for AEP and 2022 for Dominion. The Energy Share Program for Dominion Energy is extended to 2028. This is $13 million per year. This is totally remains at Dominion shareholder expense. To address the double counting, House Bill 1558 sets up a new way to do energy infrastructure. And basically, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to keep the base rate the same, and it specifies that projects paid by authorized reinvestments, and that key word authorized is very important because it's got to be authorized by the State Corporation Commission, and it can these cannot be used to trigger a base rate increase. The proposed model uses reinvested funds to offset dollars that would otherwise go into a RAC or a rate adjustment clause. So therefore, you're not going to be seeing rate adjustment clauses that your constituents are going to ask you about. And the grid transformation, these investments allowed by the bill have no fuel costs, so they cannot trigger a fuel rate increase. So the summary, the authorized investments are prohibited from being used to justify the base rate increase. That's a different way we're doing now versus what we used to do. You would be seeing racks. So those of y'all who want to see an end on the freeze on base rates in, you need to vote for this bill. So under current law, the earliest Appalachian Power customers could receive rate reductions would be in 2024, and for Dominion would have been in 2025. So now, with the triennial reviews that this bill has, AEP's first review is in 2020, and it considers earnings for 2017 to 2019. Dominion's first reviews in 2021, and it goes back and considers earnings for 2017 through 2020. Dominion's 2021 review is eligible for refunds and a base rate cut up to $50 million, and subsequent reviews are eligible for those refunds and tax and rate cuts. It removes the requirement that Dominion Energy or Appalachian Power over-earned for two consecutive review periods before base rates can be cut. Cuts could be ordered by the SEC, so that removes that. So that if they make it over one review period, then they could be a reduction. This also introduces this mechanism that we're talking about to invest in renewable energy and grid transformation, but subject to the regulatory oversight by the State Corporation Commission. It's going to enable smart meters, LED street lights, electric vehicle charging stations. It's going to bring Virginia up to speed with other utilities on ongoing grid transformation. You know, if we have a hurricane, if we have a natural disaster, you know, the first thing we want to do is make sure that our electricity comes on faster. And we saw that in what happened in the Southeast over the last year. That was a key point in Florida for them getting the power back up. A lot of their grid is underground, so this is something that can help us move forward. It does restore regulatory oversight. The state corporation will have to approve the utilities plan grid transformation investments before they start spending the dollars. It also provides that capital investment invested in SEC-approved grid transformation projects may offset excess earnings, but that provision sunsets in 10 years. The object there is to stabilize rates so that we know what we're doing during this intense period of the necessary grid upgrades. The SEC may order customer refunds if enough investments in grid transformation are not approved and during a given triennial review period. And also the 30% share that the formerly that the utility was going to get if there was over-earning excess earnings, that is given up in this law moving forward. And the SEC, the key point here, the SEC may still deny grid transformation projects if they feel it's not correct to move forward. It also, as far as environmental, it adds 5,000 megawatts of utility solar power. That's up. That's an increase from what we had before us. It has AEP committing to developing 200 megawatts of new solar capacity. Energy storage pilot program, which will support newly generating renewable resources, is included. It also promotes the hydroelectric pump storage facility in Southwest Virginia. It also sets forth a path for offshore wind. It streamlines approval of energy efficiency programs by ending up reliance on the ratepayer impact measure, or RIM test, and it calls for the filings of over $1 billion in energy efficiency programs over 10 years, subject to State Corporation Commission approval, $140 million from AEP, $870 million from Dominion Energy. And also, for Delegate Hugo's part of the state, undergrounding transmission pilot program there in Newmarket is approved by this bill. That will be a project that will move forward, and that they are allowed to go to the SEC on other pilot programs to for their big transmission lines if they would like to underground those. Bob Blue from Dominion, Virginia, would like to speak to it.
Come forward.
Members of the committee, the bill before you, as the chairman described, ends the rate freeze and returns to SEC oversight, but it does quite a bit more than that. But I will say that Florida Power and Light's response demonstrates the value of investments in the grid, investments that Florida Power and Light began making about a decade ago. This bill provides the opportunity for our company to make transformational investments in our grid and in renewable power within existing rates. So in essence, this bill provides short-term benefits to customers in the form of immediate rate credits, medium-term benefits to customers in the form of ongoing rate reductions through the tax reform bill, and long-term benefits to customers in the form of investments that will benefit them for decades through an improved grid and improved use of renewable energy.
Okay, do we have any questions? Delegate Ware.
Madam Chair, my question, Delegate Rust, how many times in this bill does the phrase "shall be deemed in the public interest" or the equivalent appear?
I don't know the exact number. I do know that it relates to the environmental renewables that we're talking about. It does relate to the grid modifications that we have directed in here. We also have a provision which was already in the public interest, which is the strategic undergrounding program for the tap lines.
Good. You follow up?
Doug Aware.
When the phrase "shall be deemed in the public interest" or the equivalent is there, what does that tell the State Corporation Commission?
It tells the State Corporation Commission that the General Assembly, as a policy matter, has made a determination that these matters are important and that the commission should look carefully at them. The commission, as you know, has the ability to say no, even when something is in the public interest. We've had that happen to Dominion on a number of applications, but they do give it special consideration because they respect the policy judgments of this body.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
The way the bill works, we would have to get pre-approval for the grid investments that we're looking at. We'd have to get pre-approval for the generation, the renewable generation that's involved. We would spend the money during the review period to invest in those particular items. When we come to the review by the commission, those investments could be offset against over-earnings that would otherwise be available for a refund. They would not be eligible for a refund. But the capital costs of those would not be available to raise base rates. That's very express, as it lines 913 to 917 in the bill, so that the only recovery would be the foregoing of the refund.
Okay, Delegate Weber, last one.
Last one. When it comes to investment in green energy and into the grid transformation, and you have to put that before the SEC, and the Commonwealth has already deemed that in the public interest, what are the other things that the SEC must take into account in order to approve your project?
The SEC is clearly going to take into account how this cost of these improvements relates to the cost of other comparable improvements. They're clearly going to look at whether or not the plans that we have made are proper plans for the type of improvements we're going to do. They will, I'm sure, go through the plan for grid improvements with a fine-tooth comb to make sure these are proper improvements and are a reasonable program to go forward. It basically says the investments that we're making in the grid transformation investments and renewables are not eligible to be considered for a base rate increase for 10 years. Madam Chairman, Delegate Bourne, that goes to the heart of the bill. We're trying to do things in a way where we are not increasing the cost to customers. This would allow those costs to be recovered in base rates, which cannot be raised as a result of those costs, rather than doing it by a rack. The typical model right now is when we do costs of these nature, we would go out and have an add-on to the rate, which would be there for 20, 25 years. This would avoid that. This would allow these to come in within the existing rates. Every other utility that has done the grid modifications, that has done the type of work that Florida did, has done it through surcharges. We're trying to avoid that.
Delegate Toscano.
And I might premise my question by saying that there's a lot of really good stuff in this bill.
Yes, sir.
And the notion that we're talking about it in terms of transforming the grid is huge, because we really need to think with a different paradigm. We're beginning that transition. But this double count has got me, indulge me a little bit here.
Yes, sir.
Because you talk about base rates, and then you talk about grid modernization.
Yes, sir.
And investments. If I understand correctly, you've got the earnings of Dominion, and they're moving forward, and you've got these over-earnings that are coming back to consumers right away. But then as we go forward in time, those earnings continue, and you decide you want to modernize the grid, smart meters, whatever it
is.
Sir. Those are assets of the company,
I think.
So if they are assets of the company, you're investing money that is coming out of this so-called over-earnings pot.
Right.
That would otherwise go back to consumers.
And back to the company as well.
Right. And back to the stockholders and to the... But when you invest in some capital, you're building up the stock of capital upon which I think there's a return on investment piece, right?
There is a return on investment, but remember, under the provisions of the bill, that return on investment cannot be increased by an increase in base rates using those assets.
Right.
That's very important, because it means that these assets, while they go into the rate base, while they are assets of the company, cannot be used to increase the rates to consumers for 10 years.
Right. And that's what's got me, because I think, and this is very technical, but it seems as though you got capital and you're entitled to return on capital, and that's potentially what the double count would be, right, is if there was a return on capital. But you're saying that because you don't raise base rates, that's that eliminates the double count.
Yes, sir. There's no additional charge to consumers from the investment in the capital, and there cannot be for 10 years.
And typically there would have been.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So let me follow up with another question then.
Yes, sir.
We've got the cap and the base rates, right? But we don't have any potential reduction in the base rates. So
we have
that's potentially where the double count could be also, right?
We have a potential reduction in the base rates in every review. There is a limit on the potential reduction in the first review for Dominion for $50 million. But the SEC has the ability to reduce rates in every review.
Okay. So am I hearing you say that, in a way, there still is kind of a potential for a double count? It's just minimized in the way that that bill works to how that figures in with the base rates. Is that what I'm kind of hearing you say?
No, sir. I think what we're saying, we are increasing our assets, but we are not increasing our revenue because we have expressly said they don't count for increasing base rates.
Is there anyone that wants to speak in favor of this bill?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Matt Strickler, Secretary of Natural Resources for Governor Northam. Governor's support of the bill, I'm happy to continue working with you all on this. I mentioned the study group he pulled together and don't need to go into detail on that. I just wanted to come up and thank Chairman Kilgore for his patience throughout this process and letting him letting us work with him to get this to a better place. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Dewan Robinson with the Natural Resources Defense Council. We also support the bill. I do agree that it has come a long way from the introduced version. This version is very strong, particularly on energy efficiency. I want to thank the patrons and also thank the utilities for their investment in energy efficiency long term, and to Delegate Hugo and others for their bills and their efforts in making sure that we get energy efficiency projects approved through the commission in a timely fashion. So we support.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Hayes Frommey with Orsted. We're the largest offshore wind developer in the world. We've really recently opened our first office in the southeast here in Virginia, and I'm here to support, voice my support for inclusion of offshore wind in the public interest in this piece of legislation, which is a new component of the House bill.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Tyson Utt. I work with Apex Clean Energy based here in Virginia. We have over 200 professionals across the state and are actively developing wind and solar projects in the Commonwealth. By combining solar and wind, you help address some of the intermittency concerns that have been raised, as well as provide a more annual, stable production profile across these resources.
Madam Chair, Michael Towne, Virginia League of Conservation Voters. We think this is a transformational investment in renewable energy and energy efficiency. We think this is a good step forward. It's not a perfect bill, but we're supportive.
Madam Chair, Brett Vassie, Virginia Manufacturers Association. We're satisfied with the compromise. I do want to point out one very important enactment clause. One of the things that was important to us is the price per kilowatt hour delivered to our factories. That's an extremely important thing to watch as we try to make this transformation, because we have to remain competitive into the future.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Ryan Dunn, Virginia Chamber of Commerce. We also support the legislation.
Anyone in opposition?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Bob Shippey, Sierra Club of Virginia. We continue to oppose the bill. It hurts ratepayers in three large ways. First, it artificially limits the refunds for years 2015 and 2016 to $200 million when the data suggests the real number is probably at least twice that. You'll also notice on page 36, line 953, that artificially limits refunds for years 2017 through 2020 to a very small number of $50 million for 4 years. That could cost consumers hundreds of millions of dollars. And then lastly, the double dip problem is indeed alive and well.
Regarding this bill, I just want to speak to something that has not yet been mentioned, I think. There were, I think, very, very good questions from the committee regarding the legislative predetermination of public interest for some things in the bill. I wanted to highlight the fact that there is also in this bill a legislative predetermination that costs are reasonable and prudent for what amounts to $50 billion in undergrounding. Now, I would agree with many in this room that undergrounding is, in some circumstances, a reasonable and prudent expenditure of ratepayer money, certainly. I would challenge proponents of the bill to explain why that number needs to be $20,000 per average customer, and that's me and you and small businesses.
Did you say your name? Could you repeat it again?
Oh, I'm sorry. Tom Cormans, Appalachian Voices.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. My name is Sam Towle. I'm the Deputy Attorney General for Civil Litigation in the Office of Attorney General Mark Herring. Civil Litigation Division encompasses the Office of Consumer Counsel. There are elements in the current form of the bill that we believe represent an improvement in the introduced version, and there are laudatory elements from a number of policy perspectives, an increased focus on renewable generation, an emphasis on grid modernization, and increased commitments to the Energy Share program. However, we believe that those policy initiatives can be accomplished without the unusual rate-making restrictions that we believe are imposed by this legislation. Therefore, even though the bill theoretically allows for a potential base rate cut in 2021 for up to $50 million, practically speaking, we believe that any refunds or base rate cut is highly unlikely. The bill continues what we see as the unfortunate practice of limiting SCC flexibility and discretion with respect to rate making. Monopoly utility rate making is an esoteric area of the law, but it has a profound impact on the lives and pocketbooks of Virginians.
Doug Toscano, do you have a question for him or is it for the patron?
And would you not acknowledge then the issue in this bill is where do you balance that? Even though your primary role is to protect the ratepayers, where do you balance that versus the transforming of the grid, which in the bill is kind of taken out of the hands of the SCC, arguably because they've been so cautious and not approving some things that could be very helpful to transforming the grid because they're too focused on the bottom line of the ratepayers. Wouldn't you say that's the trade-off here in this bill?
Respectfully, Delegate, I don't believe so because I believe that the policy positions that the bill effectively supports can be accomplished without this particular unusual rate-making mechanism that effectively bills customers twice for the same project. If those projects are in the public interest and the General Assembly and the people's representatives say that these are the things that we would like done, we're just here to say you should only recover once for those costs rather than twice.
And that's the so-called double count.
We've described it as double recovery.
Double recovery, double count, double something.
Yes.
Thank you.
My name is Harrison Wallace with the Chesapeake Climate Action Network. I just want to reiterate, the fact that this could lead to $50 billion in undergrounding through reasonable imprudency with the SEC with, you know, no oversight. And also just the fact that from the beginning, we've been asking for a full refund through an SEC audit. And even though we were able to get 2017 into the next review, the fact that there's a $50 million cap there troubles us and troubles our members.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Edward Petrini on behalf of the Virginia Committee for Fair Utility Rates and the Old Dominion Committee for Fair Utility Rates, large industrial customers of Dominion and Appalachian Power. We have serious concerns with substitute HB 1558. Bottom line, the bill does not restore the Commission's authority to regulate the base rates of Dominion and Appalachian Power. And no refunds of excess earnings are made to customers. Customers would be better off with the current law, which restores the Commission's power to reduce rates and order refunds in 2020 for Appalachian and in 2022 for Dominion.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Kim Pate, and I am Director of the Division of Utility Accounting and Finance at the State Corporation Commission. There have been some questions asked concerning what's been referred to as either double dip or double counting, whichever you want to refer to it. That's not a term that we've used. What you have is you have two things, that the rates are capped at a higher rate than they should be, and really that as we called it a double dip earlier, really results from the customer refund going to the company and not to the customer. That's where that double dip occurs.
Doug Akeem.
We have a number of occasions where we are now substituting your judgment and your work as expert agency to say that we have now, 140 of us will replace that judgment by telling you what the public interest is. Therefore, you're not going to have the discretion anymore.
Okay, Delegate, you go.
But I think what Chairman Kilgore has done here is try to accommodate a lot of groups and understanding that it's an evolutionary process. Again, this bill has come a long way. You now have 5,000 megawatts of wind, solar.
many things that I think will benefit the taxpayers and also move us into an economy that emphasizes renewables more. It is a good bill, maybe not perfect.
Delia Klein.
This does move the ball forward, but I think that the ratepayers deserve a refund, so I'll be opposing the bill.
Delegate Habib.
I think there are still some issues that we need to look at with this double counting question and whether or not the SEC's ability to get at base rates is being too limited. But that said, I think sitting here today looking at this bill and my constituents, I think my constituents are better off today if we pass this bill than if we don't pass this bill. So I'm going to vote for the bill today.
Delegate Mullen.
I certainly don't think that it's the end point of this discussion, and I would acknowledge the fact that this is by far not the most perfect bill that I would hope for. But I would say that there are $130 million worth of energy investments through Energy Share, as well as $187 million worth of additional investments that are going to be coming in for energy efficiencies that are going to transform Virginia's energy economy over the course of the next decade.
We have a motion to report that has been duly seconded. Report the substitute. Is everyone ready to vote? Indicate your vote on the electronic voting board. The roll is closed, 17-4. Bill passes.